Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
And I imagine the NBN newsroom would be a very busy place this morning. Paddy Kilmurray taking us across the line with sport. Paddy, you were mentioning that it's the first time you've seen Gavin Morris in the building early.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I'm like, what's Gav doing here? And oh, there must be a storm coming. He loves an East Coast low, so he's sitting around all these monitors with a cup of coffee, just absolutely frothing on this.
He'd be like the mad professor, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's just, you know, wired all day, just, oh, look at these charts, look at this. Oh, I can't believe we'll wait for this to come, blah, 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 this is going to happen. I think, Gav, settle down, mate.
So you're not sharing his enthusiasm?
No, I give him a wide berth when there's an East Coast low. It's a bit much for me.
understandable. Hey, lots happening in the world of sport, and Ryan Callinan heading for Fiji.
Yeah, so big comp for Ryan. This is the fifth CT comp of the year, and Ryan's sort of sitting in about 27th place on the world tour. He needs to be in the top 22 to re-qualify next year. So we're kind of getting to the halfway point of the year where Ryan's going to have to start to get some results. He's got a couple of heat wins, but he needs to start moving up on the rankings. The good thing is Fiji, Cloudbreak, it's a place that really suits him. Big, scary, barreling left-hander. So I'm looking forward to seeing Ryan surf Cloudbreak, because this is realistically the first break they've surfed on the tour this year that genuinely suits him down to the ground. So all the best to Ryan. I hope he stays safe. It is a big, scary place, Cloudbreak, Fiji.
And a nice place to be heading as well. Now, the Knights, they were so close on Monday evening, but yet pipped right at the post. What is the vibe still in the Knights camp?
I think the vibe's pretty good. Geez, they showed some grunt. I was really impressed with the Knights, and I think it's something they're building on. I did read something earlier in the week that, you know, there's been some results the Knights have had this year where they've lost games by only about 2 points. And you think, you know, if they got across the line in those games, Melbourne, Tigers, you know, the Eels match, if they got across the line in these games, they wouldn't be far off the top eight, which is really hard to believe considering all the drama and everything that's surrounded this year. So, look, I think there's some positive signs. And when you still get 13,000 on a Monday night, Todd, it's a positive for the club that the fans are still showing up and they're showing faith in this side.
Yeah, and it's unusual, isn't it? Because we thought by about this time and where they're sitting on the ladder that might have been starting to dwindle. One of the big things that always blows my mind, there's a couple of problems I have, is when players who are paid large amounts of money all of a sudden decide they're homesick and they want to get out of their contract and they don't want to be there. That's a different story, but I just don't understand. Mid-season, the team needs all the positivity it can have. One of their major players, fair enough, announcing they won't be with the Knights next year, but then they turn around and go, well, we may or may not release the player. Why would you even consider doing that when you're sitting in the wooden spoon position? Well, apart from Parramatta, obviously.
Well, look, the problem really starts at the NRL and this June 30 deadline is the fact that you can trade a player or find somewhere else for them to go before June 30, and knowing that Tarik Sims' contract's up at the end of the year, they're thinking, well, do we offload him now? Do we hang on to him? What's the best course of action here? When you see a football club and you're watching a football club train, play week in, week out, there's just this whole game of chess and checkers going on behind the scenes, player movements, contracts, and it's really disruptive. So I suppose the Knights are trying to weigh up their options. Oh, do we keep Tarik for the rest of the year? Is that going to be a positive? Are we going to get anything out of him? You know, he has a tendency to get suspended. Is he going to get injured? Is he going to put in 100% to this side? Or, you know, do we offload him and perhaps try and get another couple of players in return? The Knights just are weighing up this situation at the moment, and they want to do what is best for the Knights. They don't want to bring in a couple of players or trade a couple of players for Tarik that are only going to be here for 6 months and aren't really going to add anything to the club long term. So an interesting situation, and I think what the Knights will probably do, unless they can get a really good deal for Tarik Sims, they're just going to hang on to him for the rest of the year and make him play out 80 minutes every week and get the most out of him.
Exactly right.
Look, I don't blame Tarik for taking this deal. It's
not
big money, and you can't blame a player for wanting to look after himself and his family when your football career is relatively short.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. If he does stay, there's going to be plenty of football time for him. So,
oh yeah, they'll get the most out of Tarik, that's for sure.
Paddy, we'll let you go back and have a chat to Gavin about the charts for the East Coast low, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Todd.
2NUR FM 103.7.